Good morning, everybody. Now, some of you didn't get a place to sit. Grab cushion from the storeroom there and put it on the middle of the road, no problem. So we're going to talk from the heartfelt advice. And those of you reading this book, any questions, any chapter, request, now is the time to raise your hand. And in any chapter you want me explain you more detail. You have to have this book, and you have to have read, and you have to have enjoy it. If not, then you may not have any of those questions. So anyone have any question today? Well, next time, be prepared. This time I'll choose, close my eyes. This probably we talked before, maybe some of you heard that before. But it doesn't hurt, so I'm going to keep talking about it. Looking inward to moving upward. What really it means, we need to look inwardly ourselves. We must look inwardly, look into yourself, look into your mind, look into your conditions, look into your own suffering, look into your happiness, look into your own attachment, look into your problem, your dilemma, your struggling, things difficult to deal with in your life, things attached to in your life. Look into you, look into you. It is important to look into yourself because the external existence, external things is related and connect with you, and you, it's what you inside you. So if you not look at yourself inside, then external things really, it's no other than what's happening inside your mind. So external, how external effect on you has a lot to do with not knowing or knowing inside you. Looking inward really means look what's the matter. Look into you, it's more matter than look into whole world is a matter. The whole world is functioning since beginning this time. Even though you feel like you are carrying on on your shoulder. But actually, you're not, that's only you feel, but you're not doing anything, nothing to do with the whole world. Whole world has something to do with what you think. It's everything happening inside you. So looking inward means look directly into you. You look yourself what you need to do, what you accomplish, and what's important to you. If you're confused, whole external things is very confusing. And if you feel peace and happy, whole external seems like okay. And if you feel negative and down, negative towards yourself, inwardly yourself, everything seems also very negative because you're projecting. You're projecting yourself. So looking inward has a lot of talk. And then moving or move upward has a lot of subject to talk about. How we can learn is how we can improve. You learn from your experience, therefore you learn from mistakes. But some, they make mistakes if they don't learn. And then they're stuck with the mistake after mistake. But if you moving upward, then every mistake you make is it's a learning process. Very important. For human beings, if we don't accomplish anything in this lifetime, then we not so successful, by the way, because we have nothing to show that is a successful life. Successful, in other words, the meaning of life, that period of 100 years or 60 years you exist, there's not much to show people because you didn't accomplish anything. So the poor Buddhist practitioners, suppose that they gain some merit, they gain some wisdom by practicing virtuous action. By engaging six paramitas. So poor Buddhist idea is moving upward. Means getting better. And getting better means accumulating virtuous action. Benefiting means more and more where you are on planet Earth. That will be moving upward. Looking inward. At the same time, moving upward. We must look inward and locate the source of our minds. Locate the source of our mind's deception. In a distance, we can see what is it's an animal or it's a piece of wood. Or at least my eyes. It says our mind, the deception, it's everything very confusing when you focus it. Some of them make you excitement, but you don't see them, what's behind. And majority things you see, it's not what you see, it becomes part of deception. You see something nice, but really you find out that wasn't nice. It is so beautiful, the butterflies, particularly moth, how do you say, there's a moth. How you spell?
M-O-T-H.
Thank you. I'm learning English. English. Un poco. So the moth has a wings, W-I-N-G-S, wings, and they fly. When they see a fire or flames, they say, that's what I want. That's the good place to go. So, you know what will happen if they go there. It becomes barbacoa. And winds are no longer functioning anymore. They go like, it's gone, like plane. Now, what is differences in human unenlightened beings' desire, attachment, when it's garnered by desire attachment, we do things that is ultimately kill ourselves and destroy ourselves. But however, we not concentrate on destroying ourselves. We think, oh, this is what I want. This is what I need. This is what I should aim for. This is what I should go for. You sacrifice and you do it. But the end, it was most harmful that you involve with it, your body, speech, mind. Why? Our mind's deception. Our mind's deception. Who is deceiving us? Confused mind deceives us. And that is another reason we need a Buddha mind. We need a clear mind. We need a calm, clear mind in order to deal with the confusions. The answer is that our own mind is. The answer is, so basically it's saying we must look inward and locate the source of our mind's deception. Who is deceiving us? The answer is that our own mind is. Our own mind. So, therefore, we have to listen our mind. We have to look directly to our mind. Whether it's your monkey mind, or the crazy mind, or dull mind, or very scattered mind, or confused mind, you have to look directly and you have to work with that. And that is, it's all about meditation. In the very moment that we experience in passion, P-A-S-S-I-O-N, patience, aggressions, or ignorance, our minds of deception is taking place. You might say, my mind never deceived. I never experienced a deception, but have you ever experiencing passion, aggression, or ignorance? Do you have a limitation not knowing many things? Those are part of the deception. So here is saying ignorance, our mind's deception is taking place. Everything when we are confused, we are deceived, our mind. We must look inward to discover the relationship between our mind and body. But the majority of unenlightened beings are attached to physical feelings, physical comforts, physical sensations or feelings dominates and control ourself, and you did not ever to separate from your mind, intellectual or cognitive part of mind, separate from the physical emotions, feelings. So meditation separates mind from body, and on top of that, the mind controls physical feeling and sensation feelings. You may get hungry or thirsty, but if you are a good meditator, there is some degree of control that. You have eating disorders, but your meditation is strong, your mind is powerful, you can control this eating disorders. Eating disorder is the one thing, but we have a numberless list that can be problem, including stress, needing, wanting. Just because you want, you need, doesn't necessarily mean you get it. But that's not the point, because you can't really separate. You want, you need it. Even though things you need is harmful, still that does not avoid. Still you need it. Things harmful what you wanted, but still your goal is to get that. So here, those are part of the deception. We must look inward to discover the relationship between our mind and body. Good meditators, even you have physical needs, what they call physical needs. When the physical needs also changes as we get older and older, or maybe mature and mature, just like plants, when they're young, what they need, and when they are already grown, when they are too old, what they need is a little different. If it's too old, plants or fruit, it might never grow again if you put water. It will just kill them. So, good meditators, if you have physical pain and sickness, you can separate, your mind can separate from physical pain, says, look, my mind is free from pain and sickness, and therefore, I can fight with this sickness. So, physical illness heals faster because you are physical sickness, but not mentally sick. When you can separate from mind, from body, then you're not only physical sick, but you are mentally sick also. So it kind of double do, or the double problem. So that's another reason meditation become essential. There are the same. So we're saying we must look inward to discover the relationship between our mind and body. Are they one and the same, or are they separate even while appearance to be one? Majority people may be think that I am who I am. So when my body disappeared, I disappeared. Therefore, there is no separate from mind from the body. That is the non-Buddhist majority feel that way. If you feel that way, that is one of the common problem. And it's a common, and everybody feel that way, majority. And we should come to realize the totality of our attachment to our physical form once our inward gaze has analyzed the constituent of which we are made. So here we're talking about our body is, some people think our body is very dirty. Some people think our body is very clean. I will say it's neither clean nor dirty. It's all elements. And everybody collects elements, and the elements are elements. Water, earth, fire, air, lots of water. Lots of liquid is part of water. I mean, everything is, everybody have, unless they are formless. If they're formless, then they may not have what you have. So you can say you're special because they don't have what you have. So other than that, everybody have all the elements. So our body, when you analyze that. So my question is, when you put the water, air, and earth is earth, and then just put everything out in their place, where is your mind? Did the mind also split with everybody, or what happened? And there comes meditation. If you meditate, you will get some idea. You can study 100 years, 200 years, or million years. If you don't meditate, you're not going to understand who you're dealing with. So here I'm saying, the four external elements of which we are composed are merely born and with our death. So we return back when we get near the door, we throw them away. The gate of end of life, or gate of the door where you go other reincarnation. So that door, the body doesn't go through, but the mind can go through. So you have to leave, since the body is born them. Of course, it's all elements are born on them. So you have to, it's like tool. So the tool, you have to live there, and you can go in. And no need a ticket, no need a passport, nothing. You can get through it. So I'm saying, jokingly, I say born it, sort of born it, because you born when? When you born begin, when you conceived in the mother's womb, and when you return, when you're going through separation, your mind from your body, and it looks like you're not talking too much, it looks like you can't see the right thing, and it looks like you're making noise. Usually you don't make that kind of noise. That's where the separation is happening. Process of separation, mind from body. So then people call it the dead body. But it is not clean, it is not dirty, it is just all elements. That's all. So we are composed of merely born and with the poor elements until our deaths are returned when they came. Our life seems to shine with the radiance and the glories of brightly light butter lime. Life is a very beautiful. Of course, you may not agree. You don't see that way, then you can't agree with me. But the life is a beautiful. It is like a butter lime. It is like a flower. It is like a so beautiful light. And it is the most beautiful thing is a life. But if you don't appreciate it, you miss the point. It's not so beautiful for you. It's not so beautiful. But if you meditate, you may be able to see life is beautiful. If you meditate, you might see your life is beautiful and wonderful. You might even appreciate the people around you. And you may appreciate everything you see every day outside. You may feel like everything you see, everything you hear, everything is a part of one package. Therefore, your happiness is very enriched. Your contentment is very powerful. But if you go the other direction, opposite of that, you can have everything you have, everything you possibly somebody can have, still you are miserable, suffering, pain, and lots of trouble and confusion. You're not enjoying your life. You don't see your life is important. You don't see everything life is important. Why there is a lot of shooting going on, especially in Texas? They get confused. It's not their life to do. It's just confused. Next thing, they think this is the best solution to take care of somebody. Then they do. They're gone. They kill. Next thing, they have to suffer for 12 months and a lifetime prison. You think that's enjoyable? Maybe they realize now it's more miserable. When I was outside in a prison, was good life, just didn't thought that was good life. We must see how much fuel remains and know when the lamps of light fill the fade and dream of light will end. This I be talking about a lot because I am also my own process or aging or maybe growing. My aging comes with wisdom side by side, growing. So hopefully wisdom is growing as side by side my aging. So I've been talking about more and more, talking about here this subject, what I call how we must see how much fuel, F-U-E-L, fuel, remains and know when the lamp's light, your beautiful lamp light, as we talked about earlier. So beautiful lamp, flame. If you are the flame, you are depend on fuel, F-U-E-L, fuel. And means the life measurement, how much force left, how much energy left, how many days you're going to be here talking, how many months you have left. This is a question for yourself. So that's a fuel, F-U-E-L. So beautiful lamp depend on the fuel. You are a beautiful person, beautiful flower, but you also depend on cause and effect. So how much you have left? And a man of my age, which my doctor might say, man of your age, you should take it easy. You should walking. So I take serious when the doctor says something like that. I go, oh my. So this fuel we need to really we need to work on. We need to talk about that. We must see how much fuel remains and knows lamp light will fade, fade, and a dream of light will end. Dream of this life will end does not mean you have no more dream of life. There will be another lifetime, there will be another dream. So the quality is a little bit concerned, but as far as the reincarnation, don't concern because automatically rolls. It's kind of like a deal that it rolls automatically for next. So, with our inward looking, we must also examine our accumulation of material wealth. Many people think you don't have enough. Unfortunately. But I'm telling you, by the time when you go up, say bye-bye, there will be a lot of leftover. It is you experiencing shortage and poverty. It is I see everybody have more than they need. It is not the things will run out. It is your life will run out. So don't think you don't have enough. For once and for all, we all should think we have enough things to work with, deal with. Very important. And think about the life is impermanent. Therefore, why are we accumulating too much? Even you manage to accumulate the whole taxes money, what are you going to do? Make some fire? Burn some dollars? What are you going to do? Where are you going to go? Realize you're living in within a few weeks, you're dead. So, is there that's good? Is not there that's good too? To be, not to be. And rich, it's a sign of developed merit. It's good. I'm not saying that rich people are bad. I'm not saying you have money, you have problem. No. I'm saying they come with a cause and effect. You have a cause and effect, you have that. But enjoy it. Enjoy what you like to do. Enjoy. Then it's a double bonus. But you have plenty of things, but you're not enjoying and you're not using it. It gives you more stress. What's the benefit? So some people might have a too big, they can't even control, organize. There's a lot of wolves want to cut a little bit, eat a little bit, wild wolves. And somebody want to eat a little bit. And so you try to push this away, but you're only one person that can protect them. The other side that they're eating, other side. That happens when you have too much and you have problem because you are always struggling, protecting that. But finally, you can't protect anything, even your own body. I'm not talking about depressed thing here, saying a negative way. I'm just saying reality. Reality conditions that we in, we think we own a lot. We own nothing. That's what I'm saying. And we use it, we should enjoy it while we have it. But this is a message, contentment. Oh, so here I'm saying, when we invite looking, we must also examine our accumulation of material wealth until we can rest in a certainty that these collection of physical objects are just another illusion in a dream of life. If I say you should flee from experiencing illusion, I may be asking too much. But all I'm saying is recognize you're experiencing illusion. How about you should enjoy where you're riding an illusion? Illusion. So, in sense, illusion is like in a dream of life. And that material wealth is of no real essence. No real essence, because you don't own. You can't take for next reincarnation. Message is here. So it's not real essence. It's only what you eat, what you put in, though very essence, because you use something. Other than that, really you don't own. Somebody else will own. Our drive to the accumulation wealth impatience us in a point that we become like a World War II kamikaze pilot. See, World War II movie I have seen, it reminded me of Dharma teaching, Buddhist teaching. Kamikaze pilots, whose mission was to defeat the enemy at the cost of his own life. So, World War II, kamikaze pilots are doing that, but we are not behind too far. With material illusion, we want to accumulate, and you forgot to take care of your health. Your health is the most important. Your mind is most important. You don't take care of any of those because you are busy in the World War II with the material, name, pain, family, friend, worldly matters, just anything you can name it. And even you can't name them all, you're worried and concerned anyway. The outcome of our mission to acquire more and more wealth becomes so focused that we are blended to the fact that this behavior will lead us to our own end of as well. So we material don't run out, but we run out, life run out. And then they have some leftover family or friends have to put those in a curve. We have to develop the detachment from material things and illusion of their importance. Think about it after our death. Even our most prized possessions could be sold for a dollar at a garage sale. I have seen some garage sale. In the good days, I go with some friends for estate sales, and I bargain with them, nah, $2, $1. They said, take it. So, and I have some experience on that. My looking inward, we must contemplate the ability of our spirituality to prepare us for our own death. To pay the bill, you probably need to have work and a certain amount of hour you need to work. Those of you have to work. And on top of that, if you want to do something very helpful for yourself, the best thing is practice the Dharma, practice the spiritual, where you can maximum benefit all living beings. That will be develop kindness, compassion, meditation practice, Tonglin practice, and the side by side, you share what you have as much as those who need it. So, the more you're sharing, it's you're planting seeds. And the more you are stingy and not able to even treat good dinner, breakfast, lunch for your near family, that's what I call stingy. And the more you selfish you do, and it will be you lose more because you did not plant the seed of positive. So here, because of knowing where you can open up your hands and exchange from right hand to the left hand, and you should practice that valuable things, hold on the right hand, put on the left hand, says, I give it to you. And then left hand, you say, I give it to you. Visualize these are your friend and family. Give them. I noticed that people give gift things that is not so useful for you, and you give that for other people. And it's a very good one that you something very nice or more well about you, dare not give that because you want to keep that. This is the case, but the Buddhists, they talk about when you give things, the most attachment, most valuable things you have is what you need to work on. And so how to let it go, it measures your attachment and let them go. And then, actually, even it costs a life. Life is more important than any gift. So it says, if I can save somebody's life, and it costs my life, well, so be it. I trade it, and at least one lifetime, I trade my life for somebody else's life. That's a wonderful, altruistic trade, and save somebody's life. By looking inward, we must contemplate the ability of our spirituality to prepare us for our own death. Means, last but not least, when separation of mind from your body, when it occurs, you can say, I'm prepared. If you're not prepared, then that means you didn't really practice anything. You didn't really done anything good in this mission. All you were here is just like any other unenlightened sentient beings on the ocean and the air on the land. And they are not doing much dharma, so do you, not much doing dharma. But you want to be a little special, you have to have merit. You have to have wisdom, and both depend on meditation and practice. For it is certain that the Lord of the dead will come, and no one can escape his lasso. Lasso. You know what's a lasso? L-A-S-S-O. Lasso. I thought cowboys have lasso. They use that with the baby cows a lot. And lasso. We should ask ourselves what practice we have undertaking day and night. I know, everybody is a shortage of time. But majority time we have 24 hours we have time for confused. And basically we say, Lama, I don't want to cut down, confuse. I like to confuse for 24 hours. So therefore, I don't have more than 24 hours. So how I can add it? There is no time for me to practice meditation because I like to be confused for 24 hours. Even in a dream, sleep, I'm still confused. So here is saying, we should ask ourselves, what practice we have undertaking day and night. Majority day, we are distracted. And night, we are kind of like slowed down and snoring. And these two, if you look at other living beings, so like animals, majority they're doing similar. Nothing particular special. And then it says day and night. So it says undertaking day and night so that when death comes with this rope, R-O-P-E, rope, we can go without fear. Well, one of them is a difference between Buddhist and a non-Buddhist is, and I'm talking about practitioner. So Buddhist practitioner and non-Buddhist practitioner is the moment of the death, or realize you're dying, and you will have less regret and less fear and less guilty because you sacrifice and you practice all accordance with the Buddha instructed. So you have no fear, you're actually looking forward. And you have no guilt, because everything you think about your life, you say, I did my best for the humanity, to serve the humanity, for everybody. So that, where is the non-Buddhist supposed to be? They get more confused, they terrify, and they feel guilty, they feel bad, because it's like cloud. Sometimes a moment they have a little clarity, other moments they are very dark, they don't remember anything. It's like going through a tornado somewhere, inside the tornado. Tornado, is that word tornado? Yeah, tornado circle, you're going into the tornado circle. So very difficult to pull back yourself, what's happening here? In other words, you go, like that more than, calm down, let me figure out here. Not like that anymore there. So anyway, that's the message for today. Let's meditate. Anything you heard from this message today, then you can reflect in your reflecting, and hopefully you use that in your life and helpful to remind you, to benefit you.